Welcome to Basic Black. Some of you are joining us on our broadcast, and others of you are joining us on Facebook and Twitter. I'm Callie Crossley, host of Under the Radar 89.7. Tonight, the money pandemic. We, like you, are dealing with the effects of the coronavirus pandemic and are taking precautions. We're working with limited staff, and our guests are joining us remotely. Experts are sounding the alarm. The debilitating fallout from COVID-19, already pushing people of color to the brink, is likely to get worse in 2021. That's when Black and Latinx essential workers, especially, are at risk of losing their jobs and their homes. The key to survival in this moment, figuring out new ways to adapt. But how can folks of color strategize for the future when it's a daily struggle just to hang on? Joining us, Terry Williams, President and Chief Operating Officer of One United Bank in Boston. She is also the chair of the Black Economic Council of Massachusetts. William Watkins, Director of Workforce Development for the Urban League of Eastern Massachusetts. And Alan Gentle, Director of the Roxbury Center for Financial Empowerment, a program of the City of Boston's Office of Financial Empowerment. Welcome to all of you. I want to set the context first and then just to let everybody know what we're talking about when we say that communities of color and folks of color have been hardest hit by COVID and may be even harder hit in 2021. And then later I'm going to pivot to what you can do in this moment. So let me begin with you, Terry. You said that there is a great possibility that more people, actually more folks of color, will lose their jobs in 2021. And housing, that it's just going to be a particularly worse situation. Now, why do you say that?
Yes, first of all, thank you for having me, Callie, and this is such an important topic. Yes, I am concerned about 2021. What's really gonna impact the year are two things. One is whether or not there's another stimulus, and the other is whether or not there's a vaccine. And I think that we can all probably project that the chance of both of those are at best 50-50. So I prefer that our community hope for the best, but plan for the worst. And the worst would be that there's not a vaccine or a stimulus. And if that were the case, there is going to be a continued increase in unemployment. The eviction moratorium will be lifted and there will be more evictions and more foreclosures. And so it really is important that we prepare for the continued pandemic in 2021.
So William Watkins, unemployment numbers have ticked down slightly, both here in Massachusetts and across the country, though I want to caution, not for folks of color necessarily. But you've also said this is a time where employers are reluctant to hire, which is another reason why what Terry is saying may come to pass.
Yeah, absolutely. And thank you, Callie, for having this this most needed conversation. We're looking at right now statewide 9.5% unemployment. But of that number, 8.8% of that number is Black and brown communities. That is startling. And then when you take it to the microcosm, you look at, say, zip code 02124, the unemployment rate in that area is 23%. We have a serious, serious problem. And if we don't take this opportunity right now, as we are hunkered down in our houses, you could see the uptick that is happening, and the governor is going out to Worcester today to open back up this DCU center as a field hospital. So a lot of what Terry is saying is absolutely true. We're in a crisis right now for Black and brown communities. And we got to figure out how do we pull ourselves out of this. We cannot wait on someone to come and save us. If the vaccine does not come, if a stimulus package doesn't come, I am telling those people that we coach here at the Urban League, one thing that our former president Whitney Young said so poignantly was, it's better to be prepared for an opportunity and not have an opportunity to be prepared. So right now, in this moment, if a person is not taking the free courses that are online right now and reskilling themselves, I noticed every one of us on this Skype call had to have some technical knowledge or skill base just to be on this screen. Mm-hmm. And just imagine, we have the governor telling the state that we need to put kids back into our classrooms. But what we've missed is that 300,000 to 400,000 teachers are not equipped to provide any sort of online services because infrastructure at home is not in place.
Right. So I'm going to get you to hold that right now while I go over to Alan, because again, I want to just build the context for where we are now. So Alan, you deal with people, you offer free services for folk who can come in and try to take a look at their situation now. So the question that anybody would listen to this conversation would be, if how do I pivot or even begin to hear what William and Terry are talking about if I'm just trying to hang on every day?
Yes, it's interesting because this whole situation with the employment, the workforce issue challenges is further complicated by the fact that over 200,000 Bostonians are unscored, are without credit, and so that one of the ways that the city joined forces with the United Way is to create a mission, to create a goal of serving 25,000 Bostonians over by the year 2025 with financial education and financial coaching to enable them to increase their FICO score to 660 or more. In doing so, once your FICO score is at prime or prime plus, obviously you have access to cheaper products, you have access to much more opportunities to build wealth and to save. So from our standpoint, our approach is really to provide residents of the city of Boston, individuals that work in the city of Boston, or those that even left, with access to individualized financial coaching so that they can actually begin to address the challenges around how do you structure a spending plan to prioritize, those financial obligations.
So, William, I'm going to go back to you because a startling statistic jumped out at me about what you said, and that is looking at who are the people coming in that you see for your training? Alan sees the same thing. Women, often single women, but most importantly, heads of households. So if you say to me 41% of households in Massachusetts are headed by women, and when we dig down, 40% of that number, Black, 39% Latino, only 12% white. But we already know, and Terry can back me up, women are not getting paid the same. And your clientele, please illuminate me, are they low income already when they come to see you, William Watkins? So we're talking about low income women in jobs that don't pay well, if I'm understanding it, and near a majority of them are heading households in Massachusetts.
You're absolutely right. I mean, you put those numbers together in terms of Black women, Latinx, that's 79%. That's 79% single heads of households that are being taken care of. Our children are being taken care of by these women. Right now, in this crisis, we have to reskill ourselves to be prepared for the now as for the past decade or so, schools have been saying how important STEM was to our communities, right? But what they skipped over was the fact that STEM is essential for us right now. So that 79%, they need to reskill themselves, take those free services that are online, Google, Microsoft, all of them have some sort of training program that they can take. They can also come to the Urban League, where we're training people right now in coding. People who come to us are unemployed or chronically unemployed, and they're moving from zero to 85,000. We provide financial literacy training to those individuals because that's a shock to their system to move from zero to 85. So when we're talking about right now, I'm looking at about 60% of the African Americans are in jobs that are at risk of being automated. What couldn't happen before is happening now. What was supposed to be online a decade from now is coming to fruition right now. When you look at Walmart's e-commerce sales jumped to 97%. On top of that, the industry is only 27%. So when Walmart sees those type of numbers, and we're in a Jetsons society right now.
Okay.
Where we can press a button and the delivery comes to your door. Women would love to go into a boutique and put on a dress and feel the material. But we are in that Jetsons society where we push a button and the dress is at your door and you didn't even fit it. And you just looked at an HD picture of this dress.
Okay.
That's where we're at right now. And we need to be on the automation side of things or we're going to be left behind.
So, Terry, I want you to pick up on that because you've just been saying it's all about adapting in the moment. Even where you sit at One United Bank, you've adapted to this moment. And what William is saying about what job opportunities are open are very specific fields that STEM. What we're talking about, as you say, home improvement, which we look around, we see how many people are doing that. So extrapolate on that again and explain to me how you see businesses and people can adapt in this moment.
I'm very hopeful based on what William has said, because even though our community has been disproportionately impacted, the world is transforming and that it is up to us as a community to pivot to where the opportunities are. And you mentioned One United Bank. Our customer base has doubled since the pandemic, largely because we pivoted years ago, but even more so now, to an online offering, including online financial literacy at oneunited.com/learn. So you can take financial literacy courses online, you could bank with us online, but a lot of our community is pivoting. We're offering products and services online. We're offering these, you know, very creative masks online. We're going to Etsy. We're going to Amazon. You know, we're recognizing that brick and mortar locations, retail locations, have been significantly impacted by this pandemic. But there's some other opportunities that we can pivot to. So I'm actually very hopeful, but it is important for us to pivot. It is important for us to, you know, take advantage of these programs on financial literacy and empowerment, you know, on training at the Urban League, to make that pivot and not to wait, you know, for our jobs to come back. Because as William said, in a lot of cases, those jobs won't be coming back, but there will be new jobs. You know, we're hiring, as an example, we're hiring in Boston, Miami, and LA. So it's really looking at essential services, looking at new jobs that are available, and pivoting.
Alan, go ahead. Go ahead.
If I may just chime in here with the workforce development conversation, is that through the Office of Financial Empowerment as well, we have an in-house development training development program called True City Academy. It really provides individuals with the skill sets to become EMTs, emergency service technicians, as well as CDL, so that they can get their CDL license. What's unique about this approach is that individuals actually, it's a bridge program, so they get the pre-prep first before they actually move on to the on-hand vocational training, and then that is coupled with individualized financial coaching and education, so that they, once they move into the workforce, they have the skill sets, they have the wherewithal to better manage and inform consumer decisions around their spending, as well as a more, you know, appreciation for how do they build and maintain credit.
So what I wanted to follow up with you about, Alan, is that you have a couple of success stories. I just need one right now of folks. So some of those women that we were talking about that William sees a lot of in his training program and knows a lot about in terms of statistics about who are leading households, you see those people also who come to you in that financial office and to get those financial services. So I want to talk about what you can do or what you've seen happen when someone in the worst possible situation right now can turn that around and end up with better opportunity for employment, which is key right now, and even housing. Just give me an example of one.
Well, we had a lady who came to us, and she was actually looking for employment, and really looking for employment that would enable her to get on a career track. So we introduced her to our in-house Bridge to Culinary Arts program. So she worked with us for 4 weeks. We coupled that again with the individualized financial coaching and education. After she graduated, she went on to a vocational training in culinary arts. Thereafter, we actually helped her to get placed in full-time employment. And then through our partnership, she was able, through the Boston Home Center, got connected there, and now she's a homeowner in the city of Boston. So that's one of our successes. We've had other successes as well with individuals who continue to build their credit and achieve those prime score, so that they have better access to affordable products. They're making better decisions around how they manage their budgets. And they're able to prioritize as well around savings. One of the big challenges that many of our residents have in the communities that we serve is the savings gap. You know,
They're cash poor. Yes, to begin. Yes. Okay.
Yes.
Right.
There are over 230,000 individuals who don't have emergency savings. And that's quite a critical situation. And that's even more apparent right now during this pandemic. What we're seeing is that many clients, many individuals are resorting to actually building up more debt by utilizing credit to supplement the costs of their vital needs, of their critical needs.
Mm-hmm. So William Watkins, what are you seeing in the training programs? Because how easy is it for someone to enter into the training program, I guess is what I want to know. And how do you do that? I mean, if you're not getting, you don't have an income somewhere else while you're getting trained to move ahead.
Well, our training program, we provide a small stipend. Individuals, all they have to have is a high school diploma. They go through an assessment to make sure they are able to do the coursework. It's a 20-week coding program that we have, which has been accredited by the Benjamin Franklin Institute for Technology, where a person can get 14 credit hours. That's about a semester's worth of classes that they would not have to take if they went on to Benjamin Franklin. But, you know, the one thing when I designed, it's called MSIMBO. when I designed M-Symbol, which is code for Swahili, I thought about how can we provide a person with a skill set that if they wanted to be entrepreneurial, they can do that as well. And so that's why, you know, we have, you know, provided this program, because an individual does not necessarily have to go and work for a Google or a Wayfair or any one of those places. They can hang up a shingle and work in South Beach for the next several months doing coding. But what I see also, too, we have 60% of the occupations that African Americans are in right now are at risk of being automated, from production, retail, food prep, transportation. Those areas are at risk to being automated. So we have to really, and I'm tooting this horn or sounding the alarm, because we are at risk. Once the vaccination comes, we're not going to have this opportunity where we have the luxury to be at home to retrain ourselves. This is that opportunity to do that. And if we don't take hold of this, it's going to be very, very detrimental. Where I had a young lady come to us last week because the moratorium, the housing moratorium,
it's running out.
Ran out. Mm-hmm. She had a constable at her door 24 hours later. 24 hours later. We have a serious issue. So the Urban League right now, we are designing the Black Massachusetts Public Policy Conference that we're going to do in February to deal with all of these issues that plague our community. We want to bring in our allies. If we have true allies, we want the experts at the table dealing with the economy, dealing with housing, dealing with all of those issues that systemic racism has placed on us.
Right.
So that's what we're going to do. We're going to bring in all of these experts so we can craft a plan so we have a way forward. We can't wait on anyone. We can't wait on the vaccine.
Right.
If we wait, we are in serious trouble.
William Watkins, I'll just make you happy. My niece changed careers 2 years ago, and she is a coder for the city of St. Paul. So there you go. So Terry Williams, I would like to talk to you about something that you've been very clear about. William talked about this housing moratorium ending. We know that if you are destabilized in your housing, that in some ways can be more impactful than losing your job, because you're unhoused, you have nowhere to go.
Yeah.
So in thinking about all the issues that both Alan and William and yourself have put out there, you've said the number one thing that everybody needs to do right now, particularly those of us hardest hit in these hardest hit communities, is to rethink these holidays. So just get your mind ready to do something totally different. Please, please explain.
Yes.
Yes. Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. And this is a critical moment, because a lot of us are actually planning the holidays right now. And I do think we have to recognize that this is a holiday season like no other. We need to rethink it completely. We need to protect, you know, our parents and our grandparents. We need to think about not having those huge gatherings of family members around the table, and just recognize that this year we need to focus on safety. And what we're trying to do is to ensure that we're around for the next holiday season, but to really rethink, and it's not just safety as in health, but also safety as it's in wealth. Because the spending that we typically do during this holiday season, we also need to really rethink. We don't know what 2021 is going to bring. You know, imagine if we knew in 2019 that there was going to be a pandemic in 2020. I mean, that would have been so much helpful, you know, such helpful to us in planning 2020. We need to think in 2020 that is going to be a continued pandemic in 2021. So savings, Alan mentioned savings. That's critical. I mean, we've got to start thinking about saving. We've got to start thinking about jobs and training. We got to continue to think about housing. You know, we at One United Banks are saying to our customers, focus on the one transaction that's going to make a difference for your family going forward. That's going to help you build well. One transaction, focus on it, whether it's savings, whether it's housing.
Terry, that's a great place to end this conversation. I want to thank all of you for giving us some practical and some insightful information, because that's the end of our broadcast and the end of our show. And I want to thank all my guests for joining us. But stay with us as we continue our conversation on Facebook and Twitter.